You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
This is 70-something podcast.
Evel Knievel sold separately or with the Evel Knievel stunt cycle from Ideal.
Use the force, Luke. Let go.
HR Puff and Stuff. Push your bend when things get rough. HR Puff and Stuff. Can't do a little because you can't do enough.
Hey, this is Banzai Retro Club. I am Dave. Online, I have got Suzanne.
Hey, good to be back.
Good to have you back. Okay. And Scott.
Hey, everybody.
So, listener, what we have decided to do is what we did last year. And what we did last year at the end of the year, we had this series of episodes that we call the end-of-year wrap-up. So our logic is that we take the year that is currently ending and we use that same digit and cover the that same number for the topic for three episodes. So meaning wrapping up 2019, going to be going into 2020. So we're going to be on our year-end wrap-up episodes starting with this one. We start with 79, we do 89 and 99. So what you should know is what we're going to be doing is we're going to talk about a hit movie from that specific year. We're going to be talking about a hit TV show from that specific year and a album that was significant. Also, we're going to be throwing in some news headlines of things that just happened during the year that we're talking about. So that's basically our concept. Like I said, this is going to be the first episode of that being 1979. We'll follow this up with 89, and then it'll be our wrap-up for 1999. So, all that being said, I think we should start with the TV show. What do you guys say?
Sounds good.
What I had done is I had kind of picked some stuff, you know, that was happening down, you know, for the specific year, and I thought it'd be fun if we talked about Dukes of Hazzard.
Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curves. Someday the mountain might get 'em, but the law never will. Making their way, the only way they know how. That's just a little bit more than the law will allow. Just a good old boy, wouldn't change if they could. Fighting the system like a two modern day Robin Hood.
Obviously, Dukes of Hazzard was just a very significant TV show, very iconic. You had Bo and Luke Duke before they were replaced by their cousins. You had Flash the Dog. You had Boss Hogg, Sheriff Roscoe, P. Coltrane. It was just a fun show. I know that as a kid, I would watch this show all the time. And it was just wonderfulness. What I've learned is that it's one of those things that I can't go back and revisit because it's just really cheesy now. So it's a tough revisit for me, but I have fond memories during the time period when it was like, you know, in its heyday. And it was actually released 1979. I've always been in love with the show. You know, there are so many things of just pure awesomeness in the 80s where you're like, well, you know, they didn't have guns, so they just put a stick of dynamite and they would use their bow and arrow and blow something up. And it was just, that was okay because that's the Duke Boys. That's what they could do. It's a lot of fun. And the thing that, you know, I know is getting a lot of static now is, you know, the General Lee having the Confederate flag on its roof. So the way I feel about it is I know that it was iconic for the show, but I'm also a person that really feels strongly about, you know, being fair to everybody's feelings. So I'm kind of in a spot where I'm in a tough spot because I know how iconic it is for the specific TV show, but at the same time, it's a symbol of just a really bad period in the United States. So I get both arguments, and I don't know which way I would land on that if I was forced to make a decision whether, you know, the General Lee should have the Confederate flag on its roof or not. So that was me rambling a bit. Scott, were you a fan of the show?
I do remember watching it quite a bit. It was fun. As far as the flag goes, you know, times have changed so much since the late 70s. Things, I mean, you look at other shows back in that day and things were so not politically correct. And, you know, I think we've become a little more sensitive to a lot of that type of stereotyping or whatever you want to call it. But I don't know if it, watching it today, I don't know if the flag would have an impact on how I view the show itself.
Right.
Because they're just a couple of hicks that are out causing trouble, and they seem to be criminals that get away with a lot of weird stuff. That's my take on it. Because they say that, the, you know, the law... what's in the song, it says something will never catch him, but the law never will. I'm like, why are they always running from the law? Why is what's his name?
Roscoe
Pete Coltrane. why is he and Boss Hogg always after the Duke Boys? Right? What are they doing? What are they doing that is always so illegal? What are they running booze, right?
Yeah. Or something. Yeah, they run moonshine. Booze, right? Yeah.
They're moonshine. Yeah. Yep. So basically the same premise as kind of similar premise to Smokey and the Bandit, you know, running Coors across the Colorado River line or not Colorado, Mississippi line. It's funny that we're okay with them being criminals and running from the law, but it was all funny.
Yeah.
It was all fun and games with, you know, and Daisy with her Dukes or with her Daisy Duke shorts or whatever.
Yeah.
I
was waiting for you to bring her up. Yeah. The very beautiful Catherine Bach.
She was easy on the eyes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody on TV has to be pretty darn attractive. So, you know, it was a good looking
like
cast,
it, yeah.
Those three. You know, the two guys were kind of cute.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Many a girl's had a crush on John Schneider.
Oh, is that the blonde? That's the blonde
guy. Yeah, that was a blonde guy.
Yeah.
Bo.
I guess so.
He hung on for quite a few years as far as being still doing other acting gigs after that, too.
Yeah, he's quite accomplished.
I mean, he's done quite a few things.
Yeah. Suzanne, were you a fan of the show?
You know, I really didn't watch this show very much. I seem to remember, but it was kind of part of the culture at the time. Like, everybody knew, you know, who these guys were. And I think that the real iconic things about the show, like them jumping over the roof to get to the other side, and like, didn't they like dive into the windows or something? They never used the doors on the car.
Yeah. What it was is they had fashioned the General Lee, the car, to be more of a race car. So, race cars, you don't use the doors. They don't have the mechanics of the doors. They just weld them shut.
Okay. All right. See, I guess a little bit at a loss because it's a little bit more of a Butch thing as far as like the guy thing. As far as the car chase and Burt Reynolds and the race cars and such. If anything, I was more watching the gritty New York type of stuff like Beretta or like Starsky and Hutch and, that kind of stuff, you know, when it comes to, car chases and such.
Little House on the Prairie.
I didn't watch that either. I watched Charlie's Angels. I told you that was a big one for me. I don't know. It was very apparent every place. I mean, everybody knew what Daisy Dukes were.
Yeah.
And the thing is, this people will still refer to that. Like, that's in a Katy Perry song. And I remember asking my daughter when we were listening to the song, do you know what she's even talking about? Like, do you know what Daisy Dukes are? And she didn't know. She was just like singing it anyway. And didn't realize what exactly that meant. That, you know, you had the shorts like rolled up, you know,
right.
To wherever. But, yeah, that will just live in infamy.
They're just really short jorts.
Yeah.
Right?
She looked good in them. And,
cutout jeans.
Yeah. And very, you know, it's all very Southern. I was, you know, like I said, I was kind of an East Coast girl, so it wasn't really my milieu, but it was out there. I think I remember watching them. I'm like, remember, like, Battle of the Network Stars? They would, like, get all these good-looking young
awesome
stars from all the TV shows, and they'd like race each other and kayak and stuff. I remember seeing these guys do that. That was kind of fun.
Yeah.
You know, whatever happened to that? Why don't they do that now?
Actually, I think they tried to bring it back, but I don't think it was very popular.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
You know why? Because you can't really like have network battles anymore because everybody's watching Netflix and Hulu anyway. So.
Right.
Right.
It's not quite the same where it was
Winona
once.
Winona Ryder would kick everybody's ass anyway.
She totally would. She's awesome.
You know what? No, I guess the more current version of that kind of thing is like Dancing with the Stars or something like that, where they'll take people, mm-hmm. Famous people and make them do different athletic skills and such, or, you know, that kind of thing. So I guess it's not dead, but. You know, it was a lot of fun to sit there and root for your favorite, root for Scott Baio and Christy McNichol.
Yep. I was about to say, Christy was on that quite a bit. Christy was quite the champion, at those battles.
Yeah. Well, she was young and fast. And
athletic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very athletic. All right, so Dukes of Hazzard. It sounds like it was probably more of a Dave thing than a Suzanne and Scott thing.
No, I loved it.
Okay.
I liked the show.
Okay.
I liked it. I'm analyzing it a little bit too much now, thinking about the song saying that they're outrunning the law all the time. It never really dawned on me back then. I mean, I had the Matchbox car.
Nice.
I had that back in the day, and we'd play cars, and I was 10 years old playing with Matchbox cars. It was right there. I mean, it was just one of the staples that you had to have in your Matchbox or Hot Wheels car collection, whatever it was.
Sure, definitely.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with it. So I know it was a great TV show. Are we going to talk about any other TV shows, or are we just going to go with one and move on?
Wow. I don't know. Did you have another one queued up? I mean, I was just planning on going to news headlines next.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of really good TV shows in this year.
No, I know. I totally know.
I mean, at least just let me mention a few.
Sure, sure.
We don't have to go into detail. We have to go into detail, but okay. Just think about the lineup of the TV shows that are out there. We had The Love Boat.
The Love Boat.
People were loose back then, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
The Love Boat with Doc, you know, nailing every single lady that was coming onto the boat. And then you had...
whose idea was that?
I don't know. It's funny, though, right?
I met that producer back when I worked at Columbia Pictures because my boss was living with him.
Oh, nice. Oh, okay. Yeah. And then you have Three's Company.
Three's Company was fun.
It was.
I mean, really dated as far as that whole concept, but it was fun. That was a fun show.
You want to go down to the Regal Beagle and hang out with Larry or what? You know?
But, you know, how much fun would that be? Just, you know, hanging out with your best buddy, girlfriend, and then another guy.
Here's the thing.
Let's do it.
Now, this is Southern California, like set in Southern California. Mm-hmm. And they portrayed the apartment that they lived on as mm-hmm. being right on the beach. And none of them ever had like a full time job. Like how do they
Jack
ever
worked
afford
at a flower store and Jack was a chef.
Yeah, but he was like he bounced around from restaurant. And I don't know, it just didn't seem like feasible to be living right on like their step
yeah,
outside
crime,
the door.
Real estate, yeah.
They're like in Hermosa Beach. You know, right. I don't know if it was Hermosa, but it reminded me of like Hermosa Beach, right there on the sidewalk, right before you hit the sand. You know. Anyway, just that's. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, I guess if you're
don't listen to my rant.
You can say that about most apartments on television, though. How the hell do those people?
That's true.
Afford?
Like friends, right?
Oh yeah. My God! Yeah, that's a perfect example.
Yeah. Yeah, New York. Was it Manhattan, right?
Yeah, and she's got this sprawling apartment.
Yeah, giant loft, beautiful, and but you know they kind of got around that with the reasoning of that it was left to them.
Yeah, they said it was rent controlled and it was after her grandmother's apartment.
Right.
Even so, come on.
So, you had other shows like MASH was on.
MASH was a good show.
Love MASH.
The Waltons was still on. Little House on the Prairie, which, I mean, they may sound like really soft and fuzzy shows, but I enjoyed watching those things. The Waltons and Little House on the Prairie. I think I remember watching it mostly with my grandparents, and that's, you know, very warm, fuzzy feelings whenever you're with your grandparents, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's always cozy and happy. So Happy Days was on back then. And then one of the first medical shows, Quincy M.E., Medical Examiner, was a great show with Jack Klugman.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to watch that.
Yeah, we loved that. My grandparents used to watch that all the time. And then
I don't remember watching it, but I remember the intro where he's like doing something and everybody's fainting.
Dude, people passing out. Yeah. Yeah. And then you had Mork and Mindy and Taxi and Different Strokes. There's the list goes on, but I didn't want to just go through the year and just mention one show because there's so many great shows of this year. So anyway, we can go on though.
Okay.
We can go. Let's go to headlines.
Yeah, yeah. Don't forget all my children.
Yeah, I never watched any. So
I didn't even. I didn't really either. I guess I wasn't that girl either. I was kind of in the middle.
That girl? No, that was back in the '60s.
That girl.
Yeah, Marlo Thomas.
Yep. All right. So I sent you guys a link. I don't know if you had a chance to look at it, but did you see any like news headlines that kind of popped out that were significant for you?
Oh, I remember all this stuff.
Okay.
Well, you should. Mostly. I mean, this a lot of this, there's quite a few things that happened up in your area of the world, so.
Well, yeah, that's true. And I was about 16, so I was, you know, pretty aware of what was going on. I wasn't exactly a kid anymore, you know?
Right.
I definitely remember the summer of that year hanging out. We had, there was a what was called a sod farm near me, which was just grass for like several square miles. And we would go down there with blankets, and it was kind of like our own little, you know, green beach. We'd go down there, you know, see if we could get somebody to buy us beer and take it down there and sit on blankets and look up at the sky. And I remember Skylab had come out of the sky and was, they didn't know where it was going to land. And so we would sit there and like try and do like Skylab sightings, you know, like, and just get drunk and be pointing at different constellations and kind of yell, Skylab, there it is. So that was kind of fun.
Well, you had Skylab
in Australia. Yeah.
And then you also had Three Mile Island. Not
yeah.
Far. You're right.
Well, I guess, see, I was on Long Island then, so it wasn't, like, it's near to me now. It's like an hour okay. from me now. But I was on Long Island at the time. But I do remember that. I do remember that as being, you know, pretty significant. Let's see, what else on here? If I remember, it was a big deal. The Iran hostages were a pretty big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that you heard about, that was a big deal in school. Everybody was talking current events. I remember going out and getting a button that had like obscenities on it, blank, blank, Iran, and wearing that to school and being chastised by teachers because it was kind of obscene.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody was kind of up in arms about the hostage crisis.
We also had the launch of ESPN.
Yeah, I didn't even get cable then.
Yeah. That really, I mean, I've never been that much into sports, but it's interesting to think that it's been around since 79. You know, something that I know that my son, who's way more into sports than I ever will be, and, you know, he's still plugging into that, you know, and it's like going strong.
Yeah, ESPN's celebrating their 40th birthday.
That's crazy.
Pretty cool.
Let's see, what else?
Well, I remember we'd have, you know, we'd have these big family Christmases where everybody would, you know, gather at one aunt's house. And I remember a friend of the family coming over and sitting down at the table with us and saying, wait, you have to listen to this. And one by one, he would gave us this little headset. It was a Sony Walkman.
No way.
No one had ever seen it before. And it was just this little tiny thing. And, you know, back in the 70s and even for a long time after, anytime you listened to music, it was on the big turntable with the giant speakers. And even if you had a headset, it was this big, bulky, huge thing that went over your ears. So this guy would come around with the little, you know, headsets where just like the little foam pads that were, you know, not that much bigger than like a quarter, and put it over your head. And then there's all this sound. And it was just, wow, that's amazing.
And that wasn't cheap. That was like $200.
Well, I guess I didn't price it at the time, but, yeah. You know, because it was somebody else's, but we were amazed.
That's what it says on the web, on the page that Dave sent.
Yeah, that was like $200.
Which is, if you think about it, nowadays, spending a couple $100 on an MP3 player, which holds vastly larger amount of information, other than, you know, like you could put a 90-minute tape or a 120-minute cassette tape in your Sony Walkman. Nowadays, you can hold, I don't know, days and days and days of music on a like an iPad or iPod for about the same price, $200-$300. And so you think about it, really, the price hasn't really gone up that much in that sense. But back then, $200, it was like way outrageous
deal,
price.
Right?
Yeah, that was a lot of money back then. Because, I mean, if you like if you compare it to what cars were going for, like a Toyota Corolla was selling for $3,600 brand new.
Yeah.
So that's, things have changed a little bit. So
yeah, quite.
Yeah. No, the Sony Walkmans. That's a great thing to bring up, though.
I thought it was funny that the Walkman was like $200 and the Atari video computer system was $199. So it's like you'd pay an extra dollar for this portable thing.
Yeah, the Atari, yeah.
But the Atari was, in my mind, it should have been, you know, the other way around, you know, or it should be, the Atari should have been way more expensive. But I get the point though, because you really want to get it in their hands and then have them keep buying the games. So, you know, I get it. I get why you wouldn't want that to be too expensive.
Yeah, that's, you would think that the Atari would have been like at least double the cost of a cassette player.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know if this was the first year of the Atari system. It might have come out 2 years before and been more expensive. And, you know, maybe the Sony Walkman, this was one of the earlier versions or something like that.
Oh, that's true.
Usually, you know.
Right.
Could be. I don't know. Once again, I was using this stuff, you know, when I could, but I wasn't the person buying it, so I didn't know the pricing.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Did anybody see I reposted it, but I think maybe one of the other people from the group of podcasters we've been talking to originally posted it, which is an interview with somebody about the Sears catalog from 1979.
No, I didn't see that.
Really?
So funny. Like, it's someone interviewing a millennial, asking them, going through the catalog and asking them, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? Do you know what this is?
No way.
Do you know what that is? And by the end of the interview, the guy, the millennial guy, whoever he is, you know, not that millennials, like 30 now, but in any case, kind of looked at it and said, yeah, so this whole catalog is really stuff that your phone does now. True. You know, alarm clock, the stereos, the cassettes, and the 8-track players, and just like everything that you need to do is pretty much, you know, it's like a book that's stacked that high full of stuff. Now your phone does. But
yeah, but, you know, it was funny. Don't you miss that excitement
of getting the new catalog?
Like getting the new catalog. That, you know, when it finally comes in, and it's, you know, and I think it was probably like late October when these catalogs were, I don't know if they were mailed out to people or what the deal was, but they were thick, man. They were like an inch and a half thick. They had a lot of stuff on there. The Sears Wish Book was the ultimate.
Right.
And then Penny's had a good one too, but the Sears Wish Book for Christmas was the bomb for your list, you know.
And you'd go through and you'd circle the clothes that you liked or the toys that you wanted, and that.
Yeah, I mean, there was a certain excitement about like getting that and holding it and like flipping through it with the paper, and you know, there's something to it. Where now, like, you know, you can do it all on your phone, which is
right.
Funny.
You have everything at your fingertips.
It's funny,
it's
but
not quite the same thrill of the hunt.
No, it really isn't. You know, like, I know that I want to get a new little Bluetooth speaker for my phone, you know, just to have for myself. Because the one that I have now is kind of beat up. I've used it at work and stuff. It's more of a work environment speaker. It's a little tougher, but I want a nice little speaker that I can take wherever I go. Chrissy has one, and I'm like, well, I'm gonna go get one. She's like, well, I'll just order one on Amazon, don't worry about it, it'll be your Christmas gift, whatever. I'm like, well, that's no fun though. Like going to get it.
Yeah, what
you know?
Do you mean? I can't have it come in the mail tomorrow.
Yeah. So anyway,
but the thing is, it's hard to find a good retail experience anymore because of that. If you go out looking for something, you can't find it anymore. They have nothing on the shelves.
And the people that work there, they just don't know anything.
Yeah,
they
nobody knows anything.
They have no. It's not like going to the music store at the mall anymore, where they actually used to know something about stuff.
Yeah, that or other people in the store would know who were looking for things, you know. So
now it just seems like you're bothering them. You know. Well, how can I help you?
Well, there's no more music store that doesn't exist. But in any case. All right, I'd like to bring your attention to one item here on this list in the article.
Well, just one thing, Suzanne. I'm sorry, but as you mentioned the Wish Book, I actually found the link for the 1979 Sears Wish Book 672 pages. And
there's
a link to the wish book.
Yes, and I'm actually scrolling through it. I'm on page 27 right now. As you guys were talking, I'm like, oh my god, oh that's awesome. And then
no way.
Yes.
You have to post that link.
Yes.
When this podcast is released, you have to post the link with it.
Yes.
And but you need to send that to us like tonight.
Yes. I'm getting the total retro feels as I'm sitting there scrolling through this.
I gotta see it.
Can you search my keyword? No, totally. The page I got stuck on, there was like this sleepwear for children, and it had Star Wars themed.
Wait, I'm looking at pajamas with Sean Cassidy and Robin Williams, Mork, and Mindy on it.
Yes. So I think if you go page 12 is the Star Wars one I was looking at.
Oh yeah.
This is what's missing in Christmas nowadays.
Yeah.
This kind of excitement.
All right, so I'm sorry, Suzanne, I stopped you. What were you going to say?
Okay. I was going to
one more thing that you wanted to bring up about
the item. That being the king-size beanbag chair. Because I had the big beanbag chair in my room, and I just loved it. And I had the hanging wicker chair, the round one.
Did you really?
Nice.
That hung from the ceiling. And I had the Mylar wallpaper with the big stripes. So
wow.
I was quite the cool late 70s chick.
That reeks 70s is what that does.
Oh, my God. I'll send you a picture.
Oh, sweet.
I wasn't sure. We weren't sure. You know, you were talking about how you had this writer's conference and stuff, and we weren't sure if you were going to be able to join us for tonight. And I was telling Dave, I'm like, dude, we can't do this late 70s, 79. We can't do it without Suzanne, because she was a mid-teenager during this time. You have so many great memories of this. We have to have you on the show for that.
Well, here I am.
I'm glad you were able to make it. It's awesome.
Okay.
Sorry if I fade in and out. I forget that my microphone is not attached to my headphones now. So if I turn away from the microphone, I'm distracted by my dog right now. Bella is getting curious about something.
All right.
She's got her nose digging through a bag.
All right, so I'm going to move on to the movie now.
Okay.
All right.
That's good.
The movie that we were going to talk about, Apocalypse Now.
This is the end, beautiful friend.
I've been a soldier since I was 19, and I still haven't learned how to wait for it. I wanted a mission for my sins. They gave me one. Nobody'd ever gone on a mission like it before. And when it was over, I'd never want another one.
Your mission is to proceed up the Nung River in a Navy patrol boat. Pick up Colonel Kurtz's path at Nu Mung Ba. When you find the colonel, infiltrate his team by whatever means available and terminate the colonel's command.
Terminate with extreme prejudice.
My orders say I'm not supposed to know where I'm taking this boat, so I don't. But one look at you and I know it's going to be hot.
Pick your boat up and put it down like a baby, right where you want it.
This is the first of the night. Air calves, son.
We're coming low out of the rising sun, and about a mile out, we'll put on the music. It scares the hell out of the stokes. My boys love it.
Thank you. smell of napalm in the morning. It smells like victory. Better than Disneyland.
I'm short and we gotta go up there so you can kill one of our own guys.
You're mad, I'm the guy you think you're mad, huh?
No, dead, stupid.
Who's the commanding officer here?
I hear you.
Ain't you?
He was close. He was real close. I couldn't see him, but I could feel him.
These are all his children, man, as far as you can see.
They think you've come to take him away, and I hope that isn't true.
Could we talk to Colonel Kurtz?
You don't talk to the Colonel. Well, you listen to him.
Are you an assassin? I'm a soldier. You're an errand boy sent by grocery clerks. Collect the bill.
And the reason why this is kind of a big deal for me is because I hadn't even, the first time I'd seen it was actually this year. So it's been one of those things that's always been kind of out there that I was curious about, and I finally made time to watch it this year. And it is a very powerful, awesome movie. And the thing that I am trying to, like, give myself a little bit of self-analysis is if I would have seen this at the time, which I would have been 8 years old. First off, I don't know if I would have been allowed to see it. But at the same time, you know, I don't know. There's parts of it that are a bit slower of, you know, Martin Sheen's character trying to get to his destination. And I don't know if I would have been on board for that as a younger person. But now I totally appreciate the backstory, and you can really get into the characters and really kind of appreciate, you know, that, you know, this is just some really crappy shit that was going on in Vietnam. And this movie really, you know, it had a portrayal of that and brought you elements that you may not even realize that was going on. You know, that the whole basis of the story is Martin Sheen's character is given orders to go find this colonel that went rogue. And his mission is to basically find him, kind of infiltrate his camp and basically assassinate him. But he's kind of keeping keeping that kind of close to his keeping it close to the vest, where he's not, everybody that's getting him to where he needs to go just realizes that they just need to take him somewhere, but they don't know why. But they're running into all these different challenges and all these different characters because they're taking this Navy small boat through all these different rivers in Vietnam, and of all the people that you're going to run into in the different situations. And very powerful, very powerfully done. Very young Harrison Ford was in this, and Marlon Brando. So it was really kick-ass cast. I'm just wondering, you know, that, you know, personally speaking, like, do I have to be an older person in order to appreciate this movie? So that's what was in my thought process when we brought this up. Now, Suzanne, I know you haven't even seen the movie.
No, haven't seen it.
Did you ever have a desire to see it?
You know, I guess maybe not at the time because, I don't know, it was real heavy stuff. Once again, you know, it's war, it's just a kind of morose, and I don't know. I don't know that I wanted to kind of go see fun romantic stuff at the time.
I get it.
But what it kind of reminds me, I don't know too much about it. I've heard different things and quotes from the movie and such. But what I thought was kind of interesting, I did see Platoon with Charlie Sheen,
yeah.
which I've heard a lot of people kind of compare that. Well, you know, that was his Apocalypse Now. And isn't it kind of, you know, strange that they have had these parallel Vietnam War films that were, you know, both very powerful. So I've kind of heard of the parallels between the two films. I can't really comment on how on like the veracity of that and how true it is, but it just seems a little it just seems interesting to me that they would both kind of kick off their careers in a certain way with that, because I think that really was Martin Sheen's big movie, right? I mean, I think he did a couple of smaller films, but like I think that really brought him into the spotlight, if I remember anyway.
I don't know if you know what he was at before, but I know that this really showcased him throughout the whole movie. So I could see how this would have been a vehicle to kind of get him, you know, kicking off his career, because he did a marvelous job. And you know what you were saying though with Charlie, I think that it probably is a fair comparison of those movies, in certain ways. So I get it. You know, I get why people would say that. So, sorry, got a distraction there for a moment. I don't know. Yeah, I like I said, it's one of those things that as a, you know, an older person, I can definitely appreciate the movie. And I don't know, you know, if I would have appreciated it if I would have seen it when I was younger. Because, like I said, there's just some dramatic elements that you really have to just appreciate, you know, as good acting. And as a teenager or a 20 something, that might have been something that I wouldn't have really checked into. So Scott, Apocalypse Now, did you see that at all?
I remember seeing it once long time ago. It did not. No, Harold, don't start whining. Sorry.
Come on, Harold. We love you, Harold.
A whiny Grant. It did not have the impact on me like you. It just wasn't the right time. You know what I mean? It's just not timely for my, at my stage of life. And it was too early for me really, as far as war stuff goes. I did, you know, eventually like watching some types of war movies and stuff, but it is a very bizarre, and what a great cast, my God. I mean, it's got Marlon Brando, Martin Sheen, Scott Glenn, Robert Duvall. Now, everybody knows that line, too, that one line that Robert Duvall drops, you know, I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Yep.
Love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Yeah.
I mean, I you know, you insert, take out napalm and insert whatever smell you want to describe for the, you know, when I worked at FedEx, there's a lot of diesel trucks, and jokingly somebody would go, I love the smell of diesel fumes in the morning. You know, it's just one of those things, and it was a takeoff of that whole.
And yeah, that's where it all started. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a very impactful movie. It's very well, like, critically acclaimed.
Yeah.
And I would consider revisiting it, see where I really feel about it, and watch it again, and see if I really feel the intensity that it's been portrayed to have. So, I mean, you know, anything about war is never happy, fun times, really.
Right.
You know, it's not that way. I mean, what was the one, there was a comedy not too long ago with Robert Downey Jr. and where they did a comedy on war, and it's really hard to do comedy and war. Even MASH was supposed to be comedy. MASH was comedy, but it still showed the dark side of war.
Yeah.
like especially towards the end when Hawkeye was going through his, you know, all his mental issues with I really, it was PTSD that he was dealing with. So anyway, well, sidetrack on that one. But anyway, this is a deep movie. It's an important part of our history, a portrayal of what soldiers went through in Vietnam, and that's just something you can't just put off to the wayside and ignore it.
Yeah, I'd be curious if you were to revisit it, if you know, what your thought process was, you know, because I really feel that the reason why I dug it as much as I did was because I had my sensibilities as an older guy, so I think that may have helped me appreciate, you know, the subtleness. Well, it wasn't so subtle, but the, you know, the elements, you know, that we're talking about here, you know, the, you know, how impactful it is and what they're dealing with, you know, the different, you know, killing and death and mm-hmm. all that stuff that's going on, you know. And, you know, I don't know if you're younger and seeing this movie, if you can really like it doesn't impact you properly, I think. Maybe you need to be a little more seasoned. I could be wrong. But the other person that you didn't mention that was in the cast, Dennis Hopper, was in this, and he was brilliant.
Oh, Dennis Hopper,
yeah.
Too, yeah.
Yeah, he's brilliant in this.
Well, Dennis Hopper, I really think he's an amazing actor.
Yeah.
I like him a lot.
All right. So that is going to lead us to the a very impactful album that came out. This is Michael Jackson's Off the Wall. Suzanne, you've always been, your niche has always been kind of music. So, was this album in your collection?
It was not in my collection, but I'll tell you what, don't stop till you have enough.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite dance songs. Yeah. Wait, let me see here. Cause that's not. The whole title is
Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. Yep.
Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. Okay. That was at the time probably one of my favorite songs. I did like to dance. I mean, of course, you know the direction that I went into when I became kind of this little new wave type. But consider that earlier in the 70s, it was more like a disco world. And maybe around like 1978 and 79, but like a couple of years before, when I was 14 and 15, they started to have like these underage dance clubs. There was one called, you know, the Bugsy Malone's Ice Cream Disco. And you could, yeah, it was kind of funny, but it was named after, there was a movie.
Yeah, Scott Baio.
You know, it was all,
I remember that, Jodie Foster.
The cast, and they did a gangster movie.
Yeah.
Right, right. So they kind of named it after that. And we would all go there, and all they served was soda. Nobody drank anything. But it was just like a disco with all the lights and the floor, like Saturday Night Fever and the infinity mirrors. And you know, you would go there and you'd wear your cool, swishy polyester and Lycra dance wear. And, you know, just go and dance and do the hustle and all this kind of stuff. And I was kind of good at that, that sort of thing. Yeah. So we would go. Yeah. We would have a lot of fun. So I was big into dancing. So this song came out and, you know, we danced the heck out of that song.
Yeah, I just looked it up. Bugsy Malone was released in 1976, so that is in our wheelhouse. Maybe we'll have to revisit that as like a feature topic.
Okay. You know
Never
what?
I saw don't
know. Yeah, I don't know that I saw the whole movie. I might have seen pieces of it here and there, but I do, you know, its namesake club there on Suffolk County, Long Island. It was quite the memory because everybody went.
Yeah, I remember the movie because like all the whole cast was kids, and instead of having like regular like Tommy guns and stuff, they fought with pies. So it was.
That's very funny.
Yeah, it was great.
I didn't know that.
Yep. A very 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 young Scott Baio and Jodie Foster. Mm-hmm. I'm sure just what really helped them in their, you know, their careers, because they basically carried that whole movie, but it's been way too long. I'm going to have to find that online now and watch it.
Take a look. Yeah. But in any case, it was, back to Michael Jackson. Yeah. I guess what, this was his first solo album. There's some beautiful songs on there.
Yeah. Yeah. Breakaway from the, Jackson 5.
And I think, you know, when you put out an album like this, it's obvious that he was really talented. You know, he wasn't just the little kid that had the higher voice, so he got to dance in the front, you know.
Right.
He was obviously really talented from the start. So, you know, a lot of weird things happened with Michael Jackson, but this was long before that.
Yeah, before he got weird.
Before even I think the surgery, I mean, he looks completely different in this album than he did in his later years in the 80s. So.
Yeah, yeah, most definitely. And songs that I loved off of it were Don't Stop Till You Get Enough and then Rock With You. Always loved Rock With You.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Rock With You was terrific. And even some of the slower songs, like I think She's Out of My Life was a really sweet ballad on this album. And Rock With You was played a lot. I heard that. You heard that a lot on the radio.
Definitely did.
I like Working Day and Night.
Working Day and Night? Is that yours? Your favorite?
It's good. Yeah, it's a good one. Some people didn't think it was that great of a song, but I just happened to listen to this whole album like last week. I had no idea that we were going to do this, but. So I was on another show with a guy named Jason. It's called In Your Ear Holes. It's another podcast. We talk about Pink Floyd, but he does his, you know, he has another show where he's doing the top 100 albums of all time. He kind of narrows it down with a bunch of different charts. And this was one of the albums that he and another co-host were talking about, and they went through the whole album, every song, and they play it in the background as they're talking. And I remember a lot of these songs. It's such an important album in his career, going from, like you said, from, you know, from the Jackson 5 into his solo career, which, this was also the album that he left, Motown Records. And went to a different record company. I can't remember which one it is, but Motown was trying to take some of his other stuff and release it under their name still, while this one was being out. It was a big controversy thing. Very interesting stuff that was behind this whole album. but very, really, I can remember these songs being on the radio or when we were at skating rinks.
Yeah, that's right. We did a skating rink thing too. Right.
You know, they were just so popular back then in that situation. And, you know, skating rinks, I don't know if that's still a thing, but back when we were, you know, middle school or whatever, it was huge to go to a skating rink.
Yeah.
You know, that was the thing to do. There's
a couple of rinks around by me, but it may be kind of the throwback type of thing.
Yeah, there's one or two around me too.
I think I know about one that's in the Tampa area, but it just does not seem to have the same impact that it did when we were growing up. I think there wasn't much more for us to do, really.
Flag something for me, because I was we were talking to somebody that works at a bowling alley, because we're in a league.
All right, we're gonna go couples only. Couples only.
Yeah, see, now that was big in middle school when you had a reason to couple up and skate together. I remember being very excited about those moments. Middle school's rough too, so.
Sorry, Dave. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're fine. Couples only. Yeah, couples only skate. Yeah.
Go with your thought.
It's just that we were talking to him about like why the bowling alley isn't really that packed all the time, and he says it's a dying sport, and it just kind of really struck me, and I kept thinking, okay, what else is there that are like that? And exactly what you're talking about, the skating rinks, where we can't even think of the ones that are around us. You know, these were big things in our lives. You know, the going to the skating rink, like you said, or going to the drive-in, or going to, almost everybody's parents was in a bowling league. And now it's like retro. Yeah, that's what it is. It's like, if you want to get that retro feeling, then, you know, what happens when we're no longer around? Are our kids going to be like, we don't need that drive-in anymore. Let's just get rid of it.
Oh, that's such a sad thing.
Well, you and your bringing up this whole roller skating thing, that's what you went down that dark road. Fuck you, Scott.
Man.
Did I say that loud? That was more of a mental thing. That wasn't supposed to come out.
That was in your head. Yeah. Supposed to be in your head, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know.
And I'm even drinking tonight.
There's a lot of things to lament that they don't. I think we still have a couple of retro drive-ins around here, too. It's kind of weird. We have a few retro type of things. I know my son used to go to the skate. But I forget what it's called around here. But there's like two different rinks. And he would go now and then when he was in, I think in middle school. But it seems to lose appeal after that. I don't know. I think maybe you're too cool to risk falling on your ass in a in a roller rink in front of people once you get out of middle school.
So a quick story that I just heard literally last night. We had a couple friends come over, and one of them, she's the same year as me as far as graduating high school. So we had a lot of the similar experiences time frame wise. And she remembers, she was telling me this story about how she was doing the going on the roller skating rink, and it was the couples thing. And I think it was the song, the Foreigner song, Waiting for a Girl Like You.
Yeah.
And you know, when you would do the roller skating, it was the girl would be skating backwards, and, you know, you'd have the guy would have his hands on her hips, and she would have her hands on his shoulders, and she'd be skating backwards. And
talented than mine.
Yeah. She goes, so we're skating like this, and the guy that I had this big crush on, you know, we were skating together, and he leaned over to kiss me, and I fell on my ass, and he fell on top of her. And And oh, she's man. Like, it was the most embarrassing moment because everybody's watching the couple skating. You yeah. know? Everybody that's not skating is watching the couple skating. And it was just a really funny story that she told. It was good stuff. And I mean, this is just, she just told me that she mentioned it a couple weeks ago. We were hanging out talking about something and she mentioned it. But last night she told the story of, you know, what was going on. And it was just really, it was so funny. You know, she's like, I was so embarrassed.
You know, that would be a great story to like be telling your kids, and you'd be like, oh, that's, you know, that was our first date. That's mom and dad's first date. You know, oh, I would that would have been like, that'd be perfect. And the kids would be rolling their eyes. It's like, oh, do we have to hear the roller skating story again?
Oh, well, it would be a sweet story.
Yeah, I love it.
Excuse me while I check Instagram.
I don't know. I remember at like at the seventh grade trip to the roller rink where I finally got up the nerve to, I had a crush on one of my friend's boyfriends, and she was, you know, much more popular than me. I was still like this little baby, but I, for some reason, got up the nerve to skate with her boyfriend and, you know, kind of say, well, hey, how long has it been that you've been going out with Nancy? And he said, 6 weeks, which at the time was like forever. And I actually got up the nerve to say to him, don't you think that's long enough?
Wow.
Oh, wow.
You threw down. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I that was like one of the braver moments of my life. Wow. At that point. But, you know, it didn't quite work. Maybe like a couple of years later, I think I went to a school dance with that guy. But but it took that long for me to like catch up to what all the other girls looked like. I still was like 2 years behind. But in any case, that's my big memory of the roller skating parties.
Nice little tangent on the roller skating thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's very apropos for the 70s. So.
True. It's true, especially if you were a teenager or even younger.
Okay, can you picture the roller skates?
I owned those roller skates. Remember, didn't I? Who did I have a conversation with? I wore them to school on Halloween. I dressed as Linda Ronstadt.
Oh, that's right. Linda Ronstadt. Yeah, and that's great. Now, you had the white ones?
Yeah. Well, they were actually my aunt's. What color were the wheels? The wheels were like kind of this gummy yellow color, like a clear sort of.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Almost like a
Was it? No, maybe I'm thinking of the skateboard wheels. No, they were like a pinkish, like a mauvey pinkish color.
Well, I just remember the ones that you would rent from the roller skating rink were always tan.
Yeah.
They were like that beige color.
Yep.
And they had like, I think it was orange-red.
Yes.
Orange-red kind of wheels with that big-ass stopper on the front.
Yep.
Yeah, the big stopper on the front. I remember that too.
Yeah, and you'd always have a broken one lace that was broken, so you'd have to take it back up. Go, come on. It was like going to an ice skating rink was the same thing. You always had a broken lace. I don't know why they handed them out that way. So anyway, yeah, I can totally picture that those skates.
Yeah.
And it's so funny that you described the roller skates at my roller rink. Exactly. Scott nailed it. Because I was like, yes, that's exactly the ones. Yep, I remember those.
Yeah, I don't think I used the rink skates because I did have my own that I got from, you know, when my aunt was young. So mine were like vintage. Mine were older skates. They were probably from the 60s. But, you know, they were still that little big lace up, you know, ankle, mid ankle, you know, mid calf high almost. And I was never very good at anything athletic, but I could basically skate because I had enough practice with those.
Well, you know, and then if you're really lucky, you'd come across somebody that was like had a Mr. Microphone that would say something like, hey, good looking, we'll come back and pick you up later.
when did Mr. Microphone come out?
That's right around the same time.
Yeah.
That's right there. It's right in that 77, 78, 79, somewhere in there.
Good times.
Hey, this Christmas party is getting a little too quiet. I think it's time we liven it up with my favorite Christmas gift, Mr. Microphone.
Hey, what's that?
Well, you set the dial on your FM radio and testing. Hey!
I'm on the radio!
These kids are having a fabulous time with Mr. Microphone, the cordless microphone that actually puts your voice on the radio. There are no attaching wires, so you're free to move around. Broadcast over any FM car radio.
Hey, good looking, we'll be back to pick you up later.
You can broadcast in mono or with two more radios in stereo.
Professional entertainers use Mr. Microphone for rehearsing. And you can, too. It's practical and great fun for the whole family. And for only $12.88, they really make great Christmas gifts.
The perfect Christmas gift at Walgreens, Woolworth, Woolco, Osco, Venture, Weibolts, Montgomery Ward.
But I remember the roller skates, and we are so far off on a tangent on roller skating right now. But you remember, now, the ones that you got at the rink were always ankle high. You know, they would go up over your ankles. But then they came out with the ones that were like the regular tennis shoe
style. Right. I remember
and
that.
And I swear, you'd break your freaking leg.
Yeah.
You'd break your ankle using those things because there's no
support. Yeah, I had the high ones. They were like boots.
Yeah, no, it's better to have the high ones because that's that'll
prevent. Yeah, the ones I had were kind of like combat boots.
So anyway, wow. Do we want to wrap up the roller skate? Talk.
Yeah, what else we were talking about? What?
That's so fun though. It's such a great topic.
But yeah, 1979. It was a big year. That you know, between like 77 and 79.
I bet they're in that freaking Sears catalog too.
I bet we should look.
Yeah, I stopped scrolling because I was paying more attention to that than you guys. But popular songs that came out 1979. I Will Survive, Gloria Gaynor.
Back to the disco era.
Yeah, yep.
Seriously.
Hot Stuff and Bad Girls by Donna Summer.
Hot Stuff.
Yeah, see, I danced to all these songs.
Donna Summer was the queen of disco. She was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then Love You Inside Out, Bee Gees.
Nice. Bee Gees.
Yep.
Another huge... Just amazing album for, I don't know if that was that year. It might have been 78, but incredible. The whole disco era, I love it.
Yeah, but there was kind of a shift then because that's Supertramp came out with Breakfast in America. That was a whole really big album with Goodbye Stranger and a couple of other songs. And that's when you started hearing the, you know, more of the new wave songs. You know, like Blondie had stuff out, and you know, we talked about Joe Jackson's albums and the Cars albums and stuff. So
it was 79 was definitely 79 was a transition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this website that we're looking at also lists the Police as having popular musicians during this time too.
Yeah, no question. Which album was that?
So, Suzanne, how old were you in 79? 16.
I was.
15?
Yeah, I was 15.
Okay, so that's awesome. What were your favorite style of shoes at the time?
Okay. You know, was that the year that Candies came out? See, like 1978, I remember very specifically. They had the big they had those big what we call buffalo sandals, which I don't even know why they were called that, but they were these big wedge sandals with either a corked bottom or a braided, like white braided thing that kind of layered all wrapped all around the wedge, and then there was a crisscross of like tan leather, and then it came around your ankle, and they were high. They were like maybe like 3-4 inches high.
Yeah.
And every girl wore that same pair of freaking shoes. And it's like you were not cool if you did not wear the buffalo sandals. So, you know, I had those. I wore them to death. And I think around that time was when girls were starting to wear those Candies shoes, which like 79 and 80 were really popular. They had Most of them had like the wood bottoms, and there was like a skinny spiked heel and a deep slide shoe, and then just you know, like a strip of the of leather or suede or whatever at the bottom. They had a very unique look, the candy shoes. And everybody loved the candy shoes, and everybody found them very sexy.
So. I can see the insignia, the candies, how the word is written. I'm going through this list of Dave Sen. No, and I can totally, and I'm bringing it down back around to my shoes at the time too. I'm just scrolling through these now. I did not have any of the shoes that are on this, the pictures of this website that Dave sent, but when I was in 77, I had moved to Southern California, and so it was a couple of years in, you know, I'm starting to get into the more local dress code, I guess you would call it, you know, OP and lightning bolt and surfwear. You know, surfwear and skateboard shoes, which were the big thing back then, and they're still popular now, as Vans, right?
And my son was Vans.
So Vans, at the time, Vans, and I remember I needed some new shoes. My mom took me somewhere, and we ran into one of our neighbors, and I went to school with the kid, this guy Travis. And she's like, well, what kind of shoes do you want? I pointed to his shoes. I want shoes like his. And they were Vans. And so they told us where to go. And there was a Vans store in a place called Five Points Shopping Center, just in Huntington Beach. And you could go and get them custom made to whatever pattern you like. They had all these different different patterns, and you could get each panel of the van. You know how they have panels on the shoes, like the front, like the toe panel, and then the sides, and then the heel. If you look it up, you can see what I'm talking about. They have like the front, the top panel, which is like the main part of the shoe, and then on the sides they have a different little section, and then on the heel it wraps around. So you could get individual panels, all different colors and patterns, like tropical flowers and all kinds of checkers, like crazy colors of checkers that you could get back then. And you could have them all custom. Each individual set of shoes was custom made. And they just don't, I mean, I think they're doing it now again, but they stopped doing it for like 30 years. But it was the coolest thing. So I went and I had like these cool blue and gray checkered slip-on Vans that were just bitching.
Well, sounds very
yes,
like
I used the word high. I used the word bitching because that's what it was back then. It was bitching.
Yeah, it's very very Spicoli.
Yeah, exactly.
It was very Spicoli.
I think a lot of the images for the movie, they used those checkered sneakers. Circle Boy sneakers.
Yeah, and I still have a pair of those black and – well, I have black on black checkered slip-on Vans.
Interesting. Yeah. Hey, you know, Phoebe Cates is in the 1979 Sears Wish Book catalog here.
No, she isn't.
Yes, I'm looking at page 148.
Which page?
You are so – no way.
148.
Are you kidding me?
Now I've got to, like, somehow get
– you have to push forward.
Come on.
Just keep hitting the last number over and over again.
How is it that you have not sent me this link yet?
Because then all we're doing is talking about a catalog online. That's what we're doing.
Search it. Wish Book. Sears Wish Book 1979. It comes up.
I've got two computers going. I'm trying to work my new microphone.
You said 148?
148. I mean, I'm sure she's elsewhere, but I just hit her here. And the article that I had read about the millennial, you know, discussion mentioned that she was in here. So.
And there she is.
She's like 13. Yeah. Yes. She's like 13 years old or something. 14 maybe.
Wow, that's awesome.
Well, I guess, because I think she's similar to me, and that's, I guess, around...
So, for the listener's sake, it's basically a Junior Bizarre sweater. And she's in the image with another girl, and just really happy to be wearing her Junior Bizarre sweater. She looks great.
He's very fresh-faced.
Yeah.
I can't look at it. It's
asking little pink slacks.
Tell me I need to update my Adobe Flash player. Flash? Did I look at the wrong page? What?
So you're already at 140. You're like in the 150s area, and we still haven't even gotten to the toy section. So what the hell?
I don't know, but I've been skipping through, so I hope I didn't miss it.
Oh, no. They always put that at the back. The Wish Book always had it in the big section in the back. So
you got a good memory.
Oh, because
toys were always like they were like the last third of the whole thing.
Okay, I think I just pasted the image of the page into the chat. If anybody can see it, I'm not sure.
What would happen is my mom would give us the Sears book or the Wish Book, and she would have us use like a colored pen and circle what we wanted. So
right, us too.
Yeah, so I always knew the toy section was in the back. I didn't mess around with all this clothes and stuff. Yeah. I never would have even seen Phoebe Cates in this catalog because I would have been like, that's not an important section. Let's go to where it really needs to happen at the toy section. And then you have to get through all the baby toys first, and then you got the real good stuff. You know, that's where all the action figures would be and your you know, just electronics and all that stuff. That was the good stuff. So
okay, so I'm
so we
pushing through. There's Phoebe Cates again. All right, maybe we'll get to the toy section sometime soon.
But all right, so so 1979. Is there anything else that we need to bring up, guys?
Hold on, I just finally found the Wish Book.
All right, he's on a mission now.
I'm totally gonna be off on that one. Let's see. What other?
Welcome to hour two of the Wish Book discussion.
Oh my god! Yeah, we are going kind of late.
Wish Books and roller skating. It's like
but what the heck? That's not bad for 1979.
No, that's true. It's YMCA, definitely appropriate.
The YMCA sued the Village People for libel.
What's the matter with them?
Yeah.
Probably the best PR they've ever gotten.
I know. Think about the advertising. Sid Vicious died. Pink Floyd released their Wall, which is what I just talked about with the guy Jason that I just told you about.
Yeah. You know, the Wall was really big in my high school that year.
Oh yeah,
I'm sure. I hung around with a bunch of burnouts.
I was right there with them, so I get it.
I think everybody had "We don't need no education" written all over their notebooks.
Leave them kids alone.
Well, you just, you know, you can't have any pudding until you finish your meat.
Yeah, that is true. Superman the movie came out.
Superman the movie. Alien. Yep.
Alien was an amazing movie. I didn't see it at the time. I didn't see it until later. Yeah, the Rockies were good.
Something that Dave and I almost talked about. We weren't sure if you were going to join us tonight, so we were going to talk about Every Which Way But Loose.
I don't know that one. I mean, I know what it is, but I haven't seen it.
Clint Eastwood and the orangutan, Clyde.
Clyde.
Moonraker, absolutely one of my favorite. And a lot of people say it's like one of the worst 007 James Bond movies, but I loved Moonraker. And I think it was just because my age at the time when it came out. The Muppet freaking movie.
I went to see that with one of my friends from camp.
Got Disney Plus, and when I saw that was there, I was like, oh, I've got to get that on. So.
Oh, it's adorable.
Yeah, it's a great
one. You got Disney Plus and Muppet movies on there?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah, I had no idea.
Yep.
I didn't know they had any affiliation with Disney.
And they have a lot of the follow-up movies, too. But, you know, as soon as I saw the original was there, I was like, I just kind of like stopped and I'm like, oh, I got to make a mental list of things I got to go back and revisit, and that one's on it. So,
got to go sit in for the Rainbow Connection, baby. Yep.
It's not easy being green.
Moving right along. Dude, that's such an awesome movie. I love that movie. Let's see. Musicians, Gloria, Donna Summer, Michael Jackson, the Eagles were popular, Pink Floyd, Police, Village People. And we kind of covered TV stuff already. No, there's, I mean...
Yeah, this was a really great.
I love this section of our history, this little piece of our history, and it's probably because it's when we were in that formative years of growing up and coming to understand how important or how awesome everything was that's happening around you. And sometimes, even though you were experiencing it at the moment, you may not have appreciated it then, but looking back at it now, I appreciate so much of this cool stuff that we got to experience. Really. Now, Dave, you were only, what, 9?
At the end of the year, I would have been 9, but yeah, 8.
And when's your birthday again?
December. December 12th.
December. It's coming up.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a big year for me, I'll be honest.
Oh, it had to be. I mean, you're in your mid-teens. That's
yeah, that's when everything started happening.
And really, that's... If I look back to what was the most important time of my life or the most influential time of my life, is definitely in that mid-teens range, which would have been, you know, 83, 84, 85. Maybe 82, 81, I don't know.
1980 something.
Any of those will do. Any of those.
Yeah,
1980
something. So the only thing that I'm scrolling through this list. I'm sorry. I keep turning away from the microphone. I forget that I'm. Can you guys hear me okay still?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, that's better. I was turning away. It's sitting over on the shelf. This Farrah Fawcett doll.
Yes.
Hairstylist doll.
That looks scary. That looks so much like her.
Cool. And then a Speak and Spell, I think that is. On these toys, these pictures of the toys.
Uh-huh.
From 79. So I'm dying to go through this this Sears catalog. I can't wait to go through it. That once we get off the phone, I'll be just geeking out on the 672 pages or whatever it is of the 1979 Sears Wish Book.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, I just got to the toy section and I'm at 510.
Oh boy, so it's just the whole store shoved into one volume.
Yes.
It's freaking awesome. It is awesome.
Fashion is great here, that I'm telling you.
Right now, I just happen to stop at the pajamas, Star Wars pajamas.
Yeah.
Oh, and Holly Hobby. Star Wars on one side, Holly Hobby on the other side.
I mean, once too in middle school.
Oh my gosh. This is so cool. I can't believe you can access all this stuff. It's like This internet thing is so hip. But
I had a buddy tell me you can actually see naked women and stuff on there too. On the internet? Can't. Yeah, I heard.
Well, they better not put anything like that on YouTube anymore because you get fined.
Do not click on that, Dave. Do things to your computer. Next thing you know, your microphone will be way down here.
All right. So I think we are wrapping up 1979. Yes. Great year. Obviously, we started going way off tangent with the Wish Book for Sears and roller skates. But I think in all fairness, that's exactly what was going on that year. So I think those are wonderful tangents that we went down, but we covered a lot of good stuff. So I appreciate everybody being in on the journey that we went on 1979. Going to be doing the same thing with 1989 and 1999 on our next episodes. So with all that being said, we just want to remind everybody we have a website out there. That's BonsaiRetroClub.com. That's BanzaiRetroClub.com. On that website, you can get to all of our social media links, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. Please go out there, do the follows, interact with us. We'd love to get your email. If you want to shoot us that, that's at McFly@BonsaiRetroClub.com. If you are a Podbean, if you're using the Podbean app, if you're doing the follow, we really, really appreciate you guys. Actually, all of our listeners we appreciate, but it's just always cool that when we can look back and see that we got a milestone of 600 listeners on Podbean, that's just wonderfulness. I just wish that there was a way that we could track the other apps as far as people that are following us. So with all of that, we also like to remind everybody that Suzanne's got a website that's out there, but Scott likes to tell us where that is.
That would be SuzanneMattabone.com. SuzanneMattabone.
Very good. I think it's kind of unfair of you to make him do it.
Well, he's getting so good at it.
I got it right.
Yes, you did.
Did I get it right?
MattabonI. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Very good. SuzanneMattabone.com.
No, really, people, go check out her blogs. She's a really talented writer, and she does such a great job of wrapping up our podcasts up into this nice little nugget of fun information and a story about where she came from with that time period. Hi, Bella. I'm sorry, my dog is like right up in my face.
I'm actually looking forward to the blog entry for anyway, Wish Books.
Anyway, no. And 83 was pretty awesome. You did a good job on, cool. on 83. So,
well, thank you. Yeah, let me get on that and get and move on to 84. It's kind of slow going. But, yeah. You know, I'm dragging the decade out. But in any case, yeah, you can.
You don't want to let it go, on. Right?
It's true. Way,
page.
Issues.
What is it? Page 65? I can't read anymore. Page 65 or 66 and 67. There's a vest. A puffy vest, like a winter vest type thing that I had. I had that vest. It was a two-tone tan and blue. I had that vest.
Oh man.
And it was the coolest vest in the state. I was bitching. Well,
see, I'm looking at a lot of the toys and stuff and saying, yeah, remember, we couldn't afford that. Couldn't afford any of this stuff.
Anyway, so. Yeah, everybody go check out all our websites and follow us on the social media. There's this internet www thing that we can. Yeah, back in 1979, nobody had any idea that this was coming down the road, right? So, right.
Page 642, yeah. Big wheels.
Oh, really? Big wheels?
Big wheels.
Big wheels. But see, that was like 1972. I had a big wheel.
that was my childhood right there, that big wheel.
These clothes. Oh, my gosh. Can we do an episode just on the Sears Wish Book?
Maybe we have to, yeah.
Maybe what we're going to do.
Page by page. 672 pages.
100 pages per series, yeah.
Oh, that'd be fun listening, I think.
Oh man, we can post a link to it, and everybody can follow along with the podcast as we go through the book.
Oh man, we could do that every year, you know, through from 1970 through 19. I don't even know when the Wish Book stopped.
We could do a Christmas special. Just the Wish Book.
For which year?
We could skip around. Like this year we'll do 79, next year we'll do 80.
Okay.
Did I ever tell you I actually watched that Star Wars special?
You what?
Did you?
Well, Well, I watched part of it. I watched part of it.
Wait.
All right. Hold on, everybody. Hold on 1 second. Right. This is the part where I'm going to remind everybody to be excellent to each other and have a good whatever. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production. Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 We have to continue this conversation.
No, no, I'm not hanging up. But I just want to have a breaking point for the podcast. These poor people that have been listening to us for the past hour and 40 minutes.
Sorry, I was opening the door to another tangent. So.
Okay, so page 97, Mork from Ork, suspenders and pants.
Ah, right there. Nice.
Okay, yep, along with some Wonder Woman underwear.
Okay.
Anyway, so go on. You watched part of this holiday special. You didn't watch the whole thing.
No, I didn't watch the whole thing. I did. I watched the beginning and I skimmed through parts of it, and it was a little difficult.
Amen.
It was a little difficult to get through.
And you're putting it as nicely as you possibly could.
Yeah, Carrie Fisher's singing was like the best part of the whole. Oh boy!
It's basically "You Light Up My Life" by Carrie Fisher.
Oh well, kind of. That was but you know, when you guys described it, like I thought that would be like, you know, the low point. That was the high point.
Yeah. Well, other than the introduction of Bubba Fett.
Actually, I guess so. Well, maybe like I said, I kind of skipped through different parts. You know, when they gave the old Wookiee like the 3D like
there were some weird there was some
that
weird
was, like,
yes.
Diane Carroll singing, that was really bad.
That was some weird like erotic
like
virtual
popcorn
reality
of the future.
Thing.
It yeah,
it was very bizarre, but it was . And then, come on, B. Arthur was in it, and Harvey Corman.
Yeah, when he did the bit, was like an outer space Julia Child or something. Strange. Who wrote that? Oh, my God.
It's a Star Wars variety show is what it was.
Oh, boy.
You know?
And the production values were so incredibly terrible as to just be completely besmirch the franchise.
Which is really bizarre because they made a ton of money off the first episode. They knew that it was going to be a hit from the first, you know, once it started hitting theaters and started becoming popular. I mean, why else would they make a holiday special if they didn't know that it was going to be huge? Now, to the size that it actually became, I don't think they knew that. I mean, to realize that it would sell for, you know, several billion dollars to Disney down the road. Whatever it was.
Well,
400 million. I hope
they hid that little gem from Disney.
I love the holiday special. Okay, it's something that I remember watching. It was a TV special, and I remember watching it as a 11-year-old or whatever. Yeah, 79. I would have been 11. And I think it came out right about then. 78, maybe it might have been 78. So I was 10 or 11 years old, but it was right at that perfect timing for a young boy who likes science fiction. It's perfect. So
yeah, there.
That's why I love it so.
There, the introduction of Boba Fett is the only thing that's redeeming of this thing. That I don't even want to call it a TV show or a movie. It's bad. Bad. It's not Forbidden Zone bad, but it is. It's in the ballpark. So.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go with that. Awesome. Sorry.
I own. All right. I have it on DVD.
Yeah. Of course you do.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it in a couple of years, but I'll have to watch it again soon.
By the way, page 668. The Quiz Whiz.
I'm still like 180. I'm at 180 something. So.
Did you guys have the Quiz Whiz?
Eight. No.
Oh, the Quiz Whiz is awesome.
I think we had this thing up here, the red one, which was like kind of like a Simon game.
Yeah.
That I recognize.
Okay.
We had that.
Okay, what page? Six what?
668.
And I saw my brother, I said, as I'm flipping through here, I saw my brother's electronic football game, which was fun, which is 671.
Oh, the Quiz.
I can still remember like the noises it made.
Yeah, the Quiz Whiz, you would have all these different books that had all these different like Trivial Pursuit type questions, and then you would just kind of punch in like what question you were answering, and then you would have like multiple choice, and then you would select it like A, B, C, or D, and then it would give you like the tone if it was right or if it was wrong. And I remember there was like different themes for all the different quizzes, so I remember one of them being like comic books. So I totally was into the Quiz Whiz.
Cool.
Oh my God. Blockbuster. Oh my God. Some of this stuff is just, I'm sorry. I have to go so I can look at this.
It's getting kind of late. I have to get up here.
I know. And I have to go show Chrissy. I have to like, do you know this is out there? Like that you can look through these, like every page. It's amazing.
Oh man, anyway, this is unbelievable. They end it with a washer. Come on. Large capacity washer dryer. That's like the final page.
Hey, what it's a letdown.
All American.
What a letdown. You know,
for $288.
large capacity.
That's probably pretty high end. Yeah.
Good find, Dave.
Two speed.
This is really good.
good memories.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions. And rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. I know they're wrong, wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. Who said that every wish would be heard and answered when wished on the morning star? Somebody thought of that, and someone believed it. Look what it's done so far. What's so amazing that keeps us stargazing? And what do we think we might see? Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection. The lovers, the dreamers, and me, all of us under its spell. We know that it's probably magic. Have you been half asleep, and have you heard voices? I've heard them calling my name. Is this the sweet sound that calls the young sailors? The voice might be one and the same. I've heard it too many times to ignore it.
It's something that I'm supposed to be. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers,